Well, the first thing we see about the ant is that ants are self-directed. Look what it says here, that ants have no guide. They have no guide. There's no guide to show them what to do. There's no one that says to do this or go this way than ants having no guide. And so if we are going to be motivated to move toward our destiny, if we are going to be motivated to get rid of our sluggardly ways, that we have to be self-directed. You know, a lot of people are just waiting around for people to tell them what to do.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with the excuses of a sluggard, part two. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of the excuses of a sluggard, part two.
Last week, we started a message on the sluggard. We're in the midst of a series dealing with excuses and how that we need to be able to overcome excuses. We've been looking at Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 13, where the sluggard said, "There is a lion in the street." And because there was a lion in the street, the sluggard refused to go out and do what needed to be done, refused to go out and take advantage of the opportunities that awaited him, refused to go out and advance his status in life. He used the lion in the street to keep him from his destiny. He used it as an excuse. So we've been looking at this whole issue of excuses. And last week, we looked at the sluggard. And we said that the sluggard would not go out and would not do anything because he was lazy, couldn't get motivated. If we could go on to that next slide, and as we look at some of the roots of excuses, we see that disobedience is at the root of a lot of excuses. We looked at Adam and Eve and how that instead of them taking responsibility for their disobedience because they ate of the fruit when God told them not to eat of the fruit, they began to make excuses. They began to blame one another. The woman that you gave me, the serpent. And then we see also at the root of excuses is a lack of faith. That some people are not trusting God. And so as a substitute for trusting God, they make excuses for their lack of faith. We look at Moses. And Moses began to make all kind of excuses as to why he couldn't do what God had called him to do, when God said, "I am," is the one that's sending you. I am whatever you need. And Moses, because he couldn't put his full faith and trust in the I am, he began to make excuses. And so this week, we're going to continue looking at slothfulness, because slothfulness is at the root of many excuses that we make. We looked at the sloth. We talked a little bit about the characteristics of the sloth last week. One of the things that we can see is that sloth is a very lazy animal. I pointed out last week that somebody observed the sloth traveling 4 miles, and it took 48 days to go from one point to the next. Sloth is so inactive that algae begins to grow on its body. The sloth doesn't have access to water and food, can die because it's too lazy to go look for something on its own, not motivated. And many, many ground sloths have become extinct simply because they couldn't get away from their predators. We talked about types of sloths last week. Unless somebody think that there's just one type of sloth, you know, the physical sloth. We pointed out that there are mental sloths, that people who don't want to engage their mind, people that don't want to become intellectually engaged, that these individuals are mental sloth. We said that there is such a thing as a relationship sloth, and these are individuals who do not want to invest and put energy and put time into relationships. We all know of the physical sloth. That's just that lazy rascal. We know of that individual. And then we talked at length last week, and we said that there are spiritual sloths, people who have not disciplined themselves spiritually to put energy into reading the Bible, to put energy into prayer, to put energy into witnessing, to put energy into a relationship with God. And we said that these individuals are spiritual sloths. And then we talked about all the excuses that the sloth comes up with. Look at all those excuses that the sloth comes up. Reasons why they can't read their Bible. Reasons why they can't invest in relationship. Reasons why they can't intellectually do anything. Reasons why they can't physically do things. All these reasons. I'm too busy. It's too difficult. I'll do it later. I don't have the resources. I'm too tired. I can't get started. Everybody is against me. I did the best that I could. And then I am whatever you want to put in there. You just go ahead and plug it in, because that is the way that the sloth does things. Just finds a reason to not do it. And we have this week come to the point where we want to give the sloth some advice. And that advice is found in Proverbs chapter 6. If you'll turn to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6, we have some advice for the lazy man. We have some advice for the lazy woman. We have some advice for the sluggard. We have some advice for the sloth. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6, he says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her food in summer and gathereth her food in harvest." Go to the ant. Today, my brothers and sisters, we want to take a look at the ant. Go to the ant. What are some things that we can learn from the ant today? Well, the first thing we see about the ant is that ants are self-directed. Look what it says here, that ants have no guide. They have no guide. There's no guide to show them what to do. There's no one that says to do this or go this way than ants having no guide. And so if we are going to be motivated to move toward our destiny, if we are going to be motivated to get rid of our sluggardly ways, that we have to be self-directed. You know, a lot of people are just waiting around for people to tell them what to do. You know, sometimes you got to be self-directed. I heard about some guys who were working for the state, and they went to work one day, and they forgot their shovels. And so they called to the boss man, and they said that, "You know, we forgot our shovels. Can you bring them out?" And he said, "Sure." He said, "I guess you guys are just going to have to lean on each other until we get the shovels." Self-directed. Self-directed. Ants are self-directed, having no guide. They instinctively know what to do. They don't have to sit around. You know, people say, "Well, you know what? I don't know how to be in a relationship. I don't know how to please my husband. I don't know how to please my wife." Well, you see, the reason probably that you don't is because you haven't exerted the energy to find out what you need to do. See, that goes back to that relationship sloth, right? The relationship sloth says that it's too much energy for me to spend time with my family. It takes too much energy. You know, there's too much stress and too much drama, and I don't have the energy to give to these knuckleheads in my family. And so they become relationship sloths. Ask somebody and find out what it is you're supposed to do. See, ants are self-directed. They have no guide. They have no GPS system. They've got an internal GPS system. They naturally know what to do. Man, just sit some days, just sit on your porch and watch ants. It looks like they might not know what they're doing, but they know exactly what they're doing. All right? They're directed, they're focused, and they're moving. The second thing we see about ants is that ants are self-accountable. It says, having no overseer. They don't need an overseer to hold them accountable to perform the task. They innately hold themselves accountable. They don't need somebody with a whip saying, a patayow. Get the job done. But there's something that's built within them that they are accountable to themselves, and they realize that if, as Paul said, if a man don't work, he's not going to eat. They realize that they might not have somebody calling in and say, did you meet your quota today? They realize that they don't have anybody checking up on the progress of their work. But the ant has no overseer, and they hold themselves accountable. The ants hold themselves to a higher standard. You know, I heard about that mattress company. I forget the name of it, but their slogan was that, you know, we make the best mattresses, and we hold ourselves to a higher standard. And then they had a slogan that said that with a lot of companies, it's a race to the bottom. And I wonder how many people in our society, you know, we want to find out the least possible that we can do. And we want to find out what everybody else is doing, and so that, you know, we want to make sure that we don't do too much better than everybody else is doing. But you got to hold yourself to a higher standard of accountability. You've got to have an internal accountability that says, look, I'm going to lift the bar. I'm going to raise the bar a little bit higher, and I'm just not going to play down to the competition. You ever see sports teams that play down? I mean, they can be the best team, Super Bowl teams, but a lot of times they will do what? Play down to the competition. Instead of going out there and taking care of business, they play down to the competition. My brothers and sisters, learn a lesson from the ant. The ant is self-accountable, has no one that is holding it accountable, but it holds itself accountable to get the job done. Ants are self-motivated. Ants don't need a taskmaster to drive them. They see the task and they motivate themselves to do it. Ants see what has to be done and then they get motivated. I guess that's maybe where that slogan comes from. I got ants in my pants. You get some ants in your pants, my brothers and sisters, you'll get motivated real quick. I forget who it was that said, I got ants in my pants and I need to dance. James Brown, all right. The godfather of soul. Sometimes we might need to get some ants in our pants, get a little motivation, get a little fire to get us up off the seat and get us moving. Ants have no ruler. They have no ruler. They have no taskmaster to drive them. But they just motivate themselves. And what I'm trying to get you to see this morning, that if we can learn the lesson from the ant, it will get rooted in our spirit, it'll get rooted in our soul, and we won't need to make all these excuses that we make, because we'll be doing what we need to do. and we won't have to make excuses. Answer self-discipline. Look what it says here. It says that they provide their food in the summer. Ants discipline themselves to start looking for food in the summer. And they don't procrastinate and wait until the weather turns cold. A lot of folk, you know, you have opportunity to discipline yourself, get something done ahead of time, and get it out of the way, and we wait till the last minute. I've been invited to speak at the National Conference for Biblical Counseling. And they called me to speak. And you know what I started doing right away? I started preparing. You know, they required to have an outline. Now, this is not until June, but they required that you have an outline and, you know, you got to get that in. Now, once again, I'm giving you the good side of Pastor Glaze, right? Because I just told you last week how I procrastinated on something, right? And it just about caught up with me. But I'm trying to get ahead of this thing. Now, I don't want to be rolling into April and say, well, you know what? I got to speak at the conference next month. Let me see what I got to do. No, baby, I want to start now in the summertime, right? While it's summer, the Bible says that the ant starts when? He starts in the summer. He's disciplined. He disciplines himself. When all the other ants are out, or let's put it this way, when all the other insects are out watching TV and playing video games and doing all these other things, you know, the ant is out there in the summertime. Because everybody else says, you know, well, we still got the fall. And you know, we could even go up to the last day of fall and the first day of winter. No, the ant says, look, I'm going to provide my food in the summer. So I'm not waiting until the last minute. The ant is self-disciplined. And then we see that ants are self-assertive. What does that mean? It says that she gathers her food in the harvest. That she don't sit back and let her food rot on the vine. That ants assert themselves and they take personal responsibility to go out and gather their harvest. And they don't let their fruit go to waste. Ants are self-assert. They go out and seize and take hold of the things that they need to take care of. So ants are self-directed. Ants are self-accountable. Ants are self-motivated. Ants are self-disciplined. And ants are self-assertive. Solomon said to the sluggard, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Learn some wisdom after you go to the ant. And so now what do we want to do? We want to go to the sluggard and we want to overcome all these issues, all these types of slothfulness that we can have, the mental sloth, the relationship sloth, the spiritual sloth, and the physical sloth. We want to go, and we want to be able to use that self-directedness. We want to use that self-accountability. We want to use that self-motivation. We want to use that self-discipline. We want to use that self-assertiveness, and we want to overcome all that sets us back and causes us to be that sloth. So how do we overcome slothfulness? Well, let me say this, because when we look at the meaning of self, you know, we can get the wrong idea. You know, when we think about self, when I said all those things about the ant, right? He was self-disciplined, self-motivated, self-accountable, self-assertive, self-directed, you know, all those things. So we can get the wrong idea about self. So when I'm talking about self in this message, as far as we're concerned, I'm not talking about doing things in human energy or strength. I'm not talking about doing things with human wisdom. But what is self in this message? Self is rooted in a relationship with Christ. Now I'm talking to a person who, according to Ephesians 3, 16 and 17, is rooted and grounded in a relationship with Christ. When I talk about self this morning, I'm talking about somebody who has been crucified with Christ, according to Galatians 2:20. That self has been crucified, and now the self that does live is not the self of humanity or of the flesh, but it's the self that's been crucified with Christ. When I talk about self, I'm talking about a self that has been powered by Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So when we talk, because see, I realize when we use this word self, self-help, self-discipline, all these other things, you know, we can begin to think that, well, you know what? This thing is about me. You know, I can do it in my own strength. I can do it in my own energy. I can do it in my own power. No. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the crucified you. I'm talking about the empowered you. I'm talking about the one that's in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the self I'm talking about. I'm not talking about this independent, ego-driven self that wants to have his own way and wants to do his own thing. I'm talking about the self that's in relationship with Christ and crucified with him, empowered by his spirit. That's the self I'm talking about this morning. So how can we overcome slothfulness? Let me give you five things and I'm done this morning. We got a lot to do and I'll be done. I know Big Ben is back today. I realize that some people, you know, what's the Baptist way to excuse yourself from church? So if I see any Baptist excuses today, I know where you're going. But what's the lesson for us? You know, he says here, let's read it again. Proverbs 6, verse 6. Go thou to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her food in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Let's learn some things from the ant. See, I heard the story about this man who had just started golfing, and he didn't really know how to golf. And he teed up his ball beside an ant hole, and there were thousands of ants on this ant hole. And he started swinging, and he didn't hit the ball one time, but he tore that ant hill up. Shoom. And he just killed thousands of ants. And there was two ants that was left. And the one ant looked up to the other ant, and he said, if we're going to make it, we better get on the ball. So I'm here to tell you today, if we're going to make it, if we're going to overcome slothfulness, then we need to get on the ball. And so as we look at getting on the ball, overcoming slothfulness, first of all, we've got to be self-directed. What does it mean? The ant is self-directed. It says that he has no guide. The ant has no guide. We got to be self-directed. Well, what does that mean? That means that we got to get around people who are doing what you need to know, all right? If you don't know what to do, if you don't understand what to do, then you need to get around some folks that know what they're doing. I know there's a lot of things that I don't know, but, you know, I figure like this. If I can just get around people that know, then I'll know it. Somebody told me this. They said, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. If you're hanging around with a bunch of deadbeat, no account, get high, complaining, sorry, raggedy, crusty foot individuals.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of part two of The Excuses of a Sluggard. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, part two of The Excuses of a Sluggard, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Excuses of a Sluggard, part two. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Excuses of a Sluggard, part two, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Also, Dr. Glaze has authored 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.